not in all the earth. And no matter what we go through, He has just what we need. There's nothing too big for God. Do y'all believe that this morning? Well, two of you do. Anybody else believe that this morning? Amen. God is good if you believe that. Give Him a wave off. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I serve a God who cares about every detail of my life. He cares about every detail of your life as well. I want to read to you, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. If you're able, please stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. As we read out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." If you would bow your heads, let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you would stretch your hand this way. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would have your will and your way this morning. Lord, we give this service to you. Lord, soften our hearts. Lord, clear our minds of all distractions, all thoughts, anything that would hinder your word from permeating in our soul this morning. Lord, search us. Know our hearts. See if there be any wicked way within us. Lord, and minister to us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would bind us together in love. Anoint me, strengthen me, that I might preach under your anointing and under your power, that lives would be changed. Now we give this service to you in Jesus' name. Would the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to talk to you this morning. Sermon I've titled God's Weight Loss Plan. I'm not talking about physical weight loss, but you know, last week we talked about a living faith, and we read in Hebrews chapter 11 some of the examples there. I want to move on to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to look at talk about some things that keep us from being effective in our walk with the Lord or in our race that we're to run for the Lord. And I want to lay some groundwork here, so bear with me, but the Lord willing, I plan to hopefully talk about some things that can hinder our walk with the Lord, maybe a series or a couple of Sunday morning services to talk about God's weight loss plan. And I plan today to discuss worry in particular. But you know, January is a time of the year where everybody wants to make New Year's resolutions. You ever made a New Year's resolution? A lot of people do. I have. And most of the time, these commitments require us to make some changes, usually pretty drastic. And I was reading a while back that one of the most popular New Year's resolutions is weight loss. Everybody wants to begin their weight loss diet journey on January 1st. And they start changing their diet, they start exercising. Maybe they join a gym and join Weight Watchers or whatever program they have out there to try to shed those unwanted pounds. And I'm certainly not criticizing that. I think that's a good thing. I think some of us need to do it. I think I need to do it. Amen. But what really got my attention when I was reading this article was that based upon statistics, they tell us that by now, over 50%, or right at 50% of the people that started out on their weight loss journey have thrown in the towel and are back to what they were doing before. They quit doing it, and they went back to what's familiar and comfortable to them. And because they weren't committed to the process, they weren't willing to endure what it took or what was necessary to get to where they were going. And they say that by the end of the year, only 8% of the people that started out on that weight loss journey continue it to the end of the year. Now, 8% is a small amount. And you say, what does that have to do with anything, Pastor? Well, what that has to do with it is this. God's got a spiritual weight loss plan for His people. And I just read you two scriptures that talks about His spiritual weight loss plan. And in order for us to run with the vision that God's given us here, we've got to be willing to shed some things. We've got to be willing to let some things go. We've got to be willing to move forward into what God has for us. And that's going to require us shedding some things. Otherwise, what will happen is we'll be like these people who began January 1st saying what they were going to do, and come January 1st of the next year, they're right back where they started from, saying what they're going to do. And we don't want to be there. And so if we're going to move forward with God, there are some things that we must do. And that's what He tells us here in Hebrews chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 1. We must be willing to do some things. And He says that we must do it. In other words, God's not going to snatch the weights off of you. You've got to be willing to lay them aside. That's requirement from us. Amen. But Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 says it like this. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We got to move forward if we're going to receive what God has for us. And in order to move forward effectively, there's going to have to be some things that we are willing to let go of. You know, if you've ever watched the Olympics, how many of y'all have ever watched the Olympics? Okay, some of you have. If you watch the Olympics, you'll never see one of those runners out there running with boots on, will you? You'll never see one of them out there with blue jeans on or with a coat on, because they realize that if, in order for them to run with the efficiency that they must run with in order to win, they must be willing to put on the right gear and put off the things that would hinder their race. And some of us here this morning are carrying some extra weight. And God is telling us through His Word that we need to lay it down. I used to be on a track team, and I never got out there in boots. I wasn't even good at running with tennis shoes on. I sure wasn't going to put boots on. Amen. But I can remember a few years back, sitting down with my family. We don't have time to watch much TV now, do we, honey? But there was a time when we would sit down and watch TV together on a regular basis, and they had this show that was called The Biggest Loser. I don't know if y'all ever heard about that show. Well, we would sit down there and watch that show, and it's about people trying to lose weight, and they would go on this journey. They would take them to this ranch, and they would put them through this vigorous diet and the exercise program to have them shed weight. And one thing that they would always do with them was when they got close to the end there, they would take them and they would make them put on everything that equaled up to the weight that they had when they came. In other words, if they lost 70 pounds, they would make them put all that 70 pounds back on, and then they'd make them run or do things just to show them how much that weight was actually hindering them. And they didn't realize it until they shed it and put it back on. And some of us don't realize this morning how much the weights and the things in our life that God is telling us to let go of, we don't realize how much they are hindering us and how much they are keeping us from experiencing everything that God wants to do in our lives. God wants to do a great work in everybody's life in this building. Right. But we've got to be willing to lay aside the things that would hinder us. Now, when you look here in the scripture, and I'm laying the groundwork, I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. But when you look in the scripture, it says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, Hebrews 12 begins with the word therefore. And I've always been told that when you see the word therefore, you need to understand what it's there for. That's the reason it says that. And when you look at this, it says therefore because if you read in Hebrews chapter 11, just like we went through it last Sunday, it talks about the people of God who were operating in faith, and not just, it wasn't a dead faith, it wasn't just what I say I believe, but it was a living faith that affected how they lived their life. And He says to us, now I've given you the example of a living faith. I've given you the example of how you got to live if you're going to operate according to the faith that God wants you to operate at. Therefore, in order to do that, you are going to have to lay aside every weight and the sin that doeth so easily besets you, and run the race with patience. All these champions that are surrounding us, they have handed us the baton. Let me tell you something. The baton has been passed to the church of this generation. And so they handed us the baton, and now it's our turn to run. And we got to run the race that is set before us. He says, run the race that is set before you. And I want you to understand that as I lay the groundwork for this, because we all have a race to run. And I can't run your race. And you can't run my race. My race is not your race. Your race is not my race. God has a calling on my life that He doesn't have on yours. And He has a calling on your life that He doesn't have on mine. Everybody has to run their race. What do you mean, Pastor? What I mean is this. God didn't call everyone to build an ark. He called Noah. God didn't call everyone to set up a food system of storage to help Egypt and the world survive the famine. He called Joseph. He didn't call everybody to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He called Moses. And so we all have our calling on our life. God wants to do something specifically in us and through us. But we've got to be willing to do what's required in order to run the race and obtain and do what God would have us to obtain and do. We have to realize that, because otherwise we won't be effective in running our race for the Lord. And a lot of people are so focused. And let me tell you something. We can't be focused. When we need to know, we need to be to the place where we want to please the Lord, where we say, if it's sin, I'm not going to do it. That shouldn't even be a question. If it's a sin, don't do it. But we need to understand that our focus can't be just on that. We need to understand that there's going to be some things that we've got to shed that might not necessarily be a sin, but it's a weight. And our focus needs to be, is it a weight or is it a wing? Does it promote and strengthen what I'm trying to do for the Lord? Or does it hinder my progress in the Lord? Because if it's a weight, if it's a hindrance, I need to cut it loose. It may not be a sin, but it's still hindering my walk with the Lord. I'm going to have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, which is what he's talking about there. There's some things that's hindering my walk with the Lord that God might not necessarily told me it's a sin, but I need to stop it because it's going to hinder what God has called me to do. So I may have to cut some relationships loose. I may have to make some decisions as far as what I do in order to run the race that God has called me to run. We can't always be focused just on, I have people come to me and say, Pastor, is it a sin or is it not a sin? What you need to be asking yourself is it pleasing to God or is it not? Because if God's called you to run a race, there's be some things in your life that won't be pleasing to Him that might not be necessarily a sin, but He wants you to do this, and that's going to hinder you from doing this. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Amen. Amen. We've got to run the race with patience, and we have to run our race. The scripture tells us here to run the race with patience. That tells me that our race and our walk with the Lord and what God has called us to is not a sprint. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a marathon. You're going to have some endurance. You're going to have to be committed to the process of what God is wanting to do in you and to and through you. The crown is not going to everyone who starts the race. It's going to those who finish the race. We must have the endurance to finish the race and have the patience to finish the race. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, He said, He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. If we're going to run this race, we need to realize that it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And we're going to go through some rugged terrain sometimes. And we're going to go through areas in our life where we can't see what God is doing. And we don't know where He's taking us. And there are going to be times when things are going great and we're having a great time in the Lord. But nevertheless, wherever we find ourselves running, whatever terrain we find ourselves in, we must be committed to keep running for the Lord. You know what Jesus said to us? He said, in this world you will have tribulation. That's a guarantee. That's not a maybe.
He didn't say you might have trouble. He said you're going to have trouble. That's a guarantee. And we must be prepared to run on. Because we're going to go through some tough times. But His grace is sufficient for us. And we don't need to let the devil oppress us with all the baggage of this world, with all the things of this world that would hinder our progress in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul said this. He said, "Know ye not, they which run in a race run all." In other words, there's a lot of people that run a race. They all get in the race and run. But only one receives the prize. In other words, there's only going to be one person. When they start that race, there's only going to be one that wins. Now, I know we live in a day where everybody wins, but not necessarily. He said, everybody's going to enter the race to run, but not everybody's going to win the race. And then he said this, so run that you might attain. In other words, when you get into the race, be in it to win it. Be in it with all you have. Be in it to finish this thing strong. Because that's how we're going to win the victory in our lives. But I want to talk to you this morning about worry. That's one of the things that I really felt strongly about when I prayed this morning and when I prayed this week about ministering to the church. God really impressed on my heart strongly about worry. And I want you to understand something about worry. Now, when I talk about worry, I'm talking about an overwhelming concern about the unknown. I'm talking about being concerned and overwhelmed by something that is unknown and that you don't have control over. And we live in a society today filled with worry wars. People that worry about everything. I want you to understand before I start and begin to really break down what God showed me about worry. I want you to understand some things. I'm not talking about something. I'm not talking about we should never be concerned about anything, that we shouldn't have concerns. Because there are some things that should concern you. If you're not saved, you ought to be concerned. If I look outside my window and I see one of my children out in the road playing with his cars or tinker toys there, I ought to be concerned. And that concern ought to move me to action. So that's not what I'm talking about. He's not saying that we should never think about anything and not make plans. I've heard people say, you know, you just get up and God will fill your mouth. You just preach whatever. I've heard that preaching and I don't agree with that. I don't think the Word of God says that. I think that we ought to plan and prepare, study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I think that we ought to be led of the Spirit, but I also think that we ought to prepare because God is a planner. You know what He said? I know the plans I have for you. In other words, God's a planner. So we ought to plan and prepare. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about not having concerns about things. But I'm talking about being at the place in your life where you have this uncontrollable concern and overwhelming concern about things that you have no control over and the future that you don't even know. That's what God says we should not be consumed and burdened down with. And not only that, I want you to understand this too as I get into this, that I'm not talking about someone who maybe has a chemical imbalance and maybe you're on medication because you need to balance the chemicals. I say take the medicine. Now, God can heal you. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what I'm talking about either, okay? So let's lay that groundwork before I even get started, okay? But worry. Worry. How should we live our lives? We should live our lives worry-free. You know, there was a song that was written back in my young days. A guy by the name of Bobby McFerrin wrote a song called "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Anybody remember hearing that song? Don't worry, be happy. And he said in that song, he said, you know, we all have trouble, but when we worry, we make it double, right? And how true is that? Because worry and the stress associated with it not only hinders us from being able to do the things that we need to do for the Lord, but it'll kill you. It'll kill you. All sorts of health problems come from worry. High blood pressure, heart attack, stroke. All these things have been linked to worry. And it will literally kill you. And the devil wants you to worry. Mm-hmm. He wants to steal your joy and weigh you down. so that you're not able to run the race that God has set before you, and you're not able to function in the call and the anointing that God has on your life, and it hinders the ability of the Word to work in you and through you. That's what the devil tries to use worry to do. And in the song, even the title of the song, it has like a good truth that I think we can all grasp, because it says, don't worry, be happy. In other words, you can't worry and be happy. You can't worry and operate in the joy of the Lord. You cannot worry and operate in faith. You cannot worry and operate in the peace that God has given you. The peace that passes all understanding. You just can't do it. It's not possible. And so you have to make a choice. Will I worry, or will I walk in faith and enjoy the peace and the joy of the Lord that He has made available to me? Because you can't have them both. You got to make a choice. You can't have it both ways. You got to make a choice. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27? He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. How does the world give it? It's circumstantial, based on how you're doing and what's going on right now. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's not God's will for you to operate in worry. Can I just make that plain to you? It is not God's will for you to worry. It is God's will for His children to operate in unspeakable joy and faith and peace that passes all understanding. It's not God's will for His children to walk around like Chicken Little. Every time something goes wrong, to feel like things are falling apart. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do when things are not going right in my life? I just feel like I can't make it. How long is it going to keep going like this? I just don't think I can keep going. God does not want us as His people to live that way. And the real danger with worry is this. It hinders, like I said before, it hinders the ability of the Word of God to work in us and through us. If you remember in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about He tells the parable of the sower. And do you know what He says in verse 7? He said that when the sower sowed the seed, that there were times when the Word of God, it would fall and be sown in the hearts of people, and it would fall among thorns. And the thorns would choke it up, grow up and choke out the life and hinder it and keep it from being effective. And you know what God used to describe some of those thorns? The cares of this world. The cares of this world. And the enemy wants us to get so wrapped up in the cares of this world that we're not able to receive the Word of God in its fullness. He wants to hinder us from receiving the Word of God. And if He can get you to worry and choke out that Word, that's just what He'll do. If He can get you focused on the cares of this world and the things going on in your home and the things going on with your health and the things going on in your finances, if He can get your focus on those things, it will choke out the promises of God in His Word, and it will render it ineffective in your life. That's why it's so important that we understand that we got to let go of worry. We cannot allow it to dominate our lives. You know what Jesus told Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 41? He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And I think that accurately describes a lot of people in God's house today. There's a lot of worry. And the devil will provide it, won't he? Yeah. This world will provide it. You look around, there's a lot of things we could, if we chose to, worry about. We could think about the state of our society. We could think about our finances, some of us. We could think about our health, some of us. We could think about what's going on in our families. We can focus on the things that the enemy would try to use to make us worry. There's no shortage of things to worry about in this day. But if I were to summarize to you what God has to say about worry, I can summarize it in three words. Don't do it. That's what He says. Don't do it. In fact, Jesus, if you read in Matthew chapter 6, He commands us three times. He says, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And if Jesus tells us to do something, we ought not to do it. If he tells us to do something, we ought to do it. If he tells us not to do it, we ought not to do it. How many of y'all believe that this morning? And in John chapter 16, verse 33, you know what Jesus said? He said, in this world you will have tribulation or trouble. But be of good cheer. Now I want you to think about that statement for a minute. In this world, you're going to have trouble. In other words, Jesus is guaranteeing us that we're going to have difficulty. We're going to have trouble in our life. And the very next statement he makes is this. Be of good cheer. Think about that for a minute. Now you're going to have trouble. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to go through things that you don't understand. You're going to go through things that you don't have the answer for. But be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. And so the question becomes, how do we do that? Because see, the world can't do that. In fact, if you read in Matthew chapter 16 or 6 there, I think it's 16, where he's talking about it. No, it's chapter 6. When he's talking about worry, he says, if you worry, you're operating just like the world. Because the Gentiles, all they have on their mind is the here and now. And the reason we worry is because we're focused on this world. But how do we overcome worry? How do we overcome worry as people of God? Because we have to overcome it. Otherwise, your life is going to be like this. And you're not going to run the race. You might run for a little while, then you'll sit down a little while. Then you might get up and try it again for a little while, then you'll sit down a little while. That's just what the devil wants for you, by the way. But if we're going to overcome worry, first of all, we're going to have to surrender our life completely to Christ. And what do I mean by that? If you read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, you know what it says? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, when we seek God and his kingdom first, there's no room left over for worry. When we get up each day and say to the Lord, this day is yours. My situation is in your hands. You know, there are days I get up and I say to the Lord, this church is yours. Not my church. It's your church. And when you say that and you really mean it, it takes the worry off. If you really believe that. If you say, my life is yours. My family is yours. My finances are yours. This world. You created it. It's yours. And when we understand that it's his, and we completely surrender everything in our life to the Lord, worry will dissipate. See, the reason we worry a lot of times is because we haven't surrendered the steering wheel of our life to the Lord. And we have to make a decision. Who's ruling your life? Is it the Lord? Are you under the rule of the kingdom of God? Or are you under your own rule? Because if you're under your own rule, honey, you got a lot to worry about. But if you've surrendered your life to God and it's his, then you don't have anything to worry about. Because he's in control. He's got the steering wheel. And he has unlimited resources, unlimited power. He's got a perfect plan for your life. And he is able to do anything at any time. So the real question comes in, if we're going to overcome worry, have we surrendered control of our life to the Lord? Or are we still trying to control our own lives? Because see, that's why when we worry, we act like the world. See, the world worries because the world is doing their own thing. They're driving the car. And they got to figure it out because ain't nobody else driving. But if God's driving, you just ride in the passenger seat and you do what he says do. You have a problem, you say, all right, Lord, what should I do? And if he don't answer, you don't do anything. And you trust him. And that alleviates a lot of worry. I don't know how much worry we could alleviate just by saying, it's yours, God. I'm giving it to you. You handle it. I'm not going to touch it. I'm just going to let you do what you want to do here. We're going to overcome worry. We got to live our life today. Look at someone and say, live your life for the Lord today. Matthew 6 and 34, you know what it says? Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Most of the time we're worried because we're focused on tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Only God knows. And we don't have the power to change it. Only God does. And if we try to live tomorrow today, not only are we ineffective today, but we're wore out by the time we get to tomorrow. And that's what the enemy wants to do to you. Because we can't function if we live that way. We're ineffective when we're focused on tomorrow. And how many of y'all know when you get stressed out and worried, it tires you out. Makes you tired. By the time you get to tomorrow, you just wore slap out. You don't even know why. Why am I so tired? Because I've been worrying. That's what the enemy wants to do to us. But we have to live for today. You remember the children of Israel? When God sent down the manna from heaven, do you know what he said to them? He said, you get enough manna for today. Because if you try to get more, and you start trying to store it up, and you start thinking about tomorrow, it's going to rot on you. And they had to get just enough manna to get them by for today. Now, we don't like that a lot of times because we want to feel secure, not just for today, but for all week long. And guess what? Children of Israel had the same problem. Because guess what they did? They tried to store it up. And guess what happened? It rotted on them. God wants you to operate in today. He will take care of you. He will give you the grace and the strength that you need for today. And when tomorrow comes, if you trust him, and you obey him, he will give you what you need for tomorrow. But he's not going to give you what you need for tomorrow today. He's going to give you what you need for today. You know what? I went through things in my life and I've said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what I did? I said, God, give me the strength and the grace to get through this day. And you know what he did? He gave me the grace and the strength to make it through that day.
Yeah.
And you know what I did the next day? I said, God, I need your help today. Give me the grace and the strength to make it through this day. Help me to walk through this valley right now. And you know what he did? He helped me walk through it. And when we take that approach, before long, we're through the valley and we're up on the mountain again.
Amen.
But we have to trust the Lord for today. And get our eyes off of tomorrow. Get our minds off of tomorrow. And allow God to use us today. Right where we are. See, a lot of people are like, God, I'll do whatever you want. You can use me after I get through today. But God wants to use you right where you are. He don't want you to look to tomorrow. He wants you to live for him today. He said today is the day of the salvation. Now is the appointed time. Live for me today. And I'll take care of your tomorrow if you'll live for me today. We got to shift our focus from our problems to God's promises. If we're going to overcome worry, we got to shift our focus, church. You know what Isaiah 26 and 3 says? It says, he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts him. If our mind is focused on the Lord, we'll have the peace that we need. We'll have just what we need. But if our mind is focused on everything else, we're not going to have what we need. We got to shift our focus from our problems to our source of help.
Amen.
David said in Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2, you know what he said? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Where does my help come from? Does it come from me? No. Does it come from my boss? No. Does it come from my bank? No. Does it come from my family? No. My help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to get my mind and shift my focus off of all these other things. And I'm going to get it on the Lord. And when I shift my focus, all of a sudden, that my attitude and what I'm going through and my thought process will shift from worry to faith. And God can use me, and I can experience the joy and the peace that he wants me to experience.
Yes.
When we have problems and we get up each day and we say, you know, we begin to speak the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. But if you're worried, you're not speaking the Word of God. If you are, you're not believing it. If you're worried and you begin to speak the Word of God, I'm telling you, it's powerful. You get up and you say, I don't know how I'm going to meet this financial. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you can quote the Scripture and say, my God is able to supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. And I get up in the morning and I say, I know what the doctor said, and I know he said there's nothing he could do, but I know that the Word of God says that by your stripes, Lord Jesus, I am healed, and that you are my healer. When we begin to speak the Word of God and we believe it, there is power. The devil wants to shift your focus from the promises of God onto your problems. And if he can get your mind fixed on your problems rather than the answer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, then he's got you. And you're going to worry every time. So how do we overcome worry? We shift our focus from our problems to the Lord. How do we overcome worry? We pray. You know what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says? It says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. I love that. That's so simple and profound, but yet so hard sometimes for us to do when we're not operating in faith and operating in what the Word of God tells us to do. Don't worry about anything. Anything means anything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And thank God for all that He's done. Whenever we begin to struggle with worry, you know what the first thing we need to do is hit our knees in prayer. Yes. We need to meet the Lord in prayer. I'm going to tell you something. You can't be in the presence of the Lord and operate in worry. When you get in the presence of the Lord, worry is going to dissipate. Amen. You can't do it. If you can do it, come talk to me because I want to know how that happens. Because worry and faith are opposites. They cannot coexist. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you're going to enter into His presence and you're going to meet Him in prayer, it's going to require faith. And so when we get in His presence and we meet Him in faith, we begin to pray, something begins to happen in our life and our focus shifts and our attitude changes from one of what am I going to do to thank you, God, for what you've done. That's why I said when you go into His presence in prayer and you're not worrying, begin to thank Him. Because when we shift our focus from what's going on to what God has done, all of a sudden we realize that our problem's not too big for God. He's done it before. He'll do it again. I know what the Word of God says. I don't care how I may feel right now. I don't care what I'm going through right now. I serve a God who is faithful. Is there anybody else who says, I serve a God who's faithful? Amen. Do you believe that? You say, well, I haven't seen it. It doesn't matter if you've seen it or not. Faith is walking by, not walking according to your sight, but according to what God has spoken. And if we want to be what God has called us to be, and we want to experience the move of God in our life, then we've got to walk according to the Word that God has spoken, not according to how we feel or what other people think or what we see with our eyes. We've got to operate based on the Word of God, and this is what the Lord says. He's been faithful before. He'll be faithful again. I know if God said it, He'll do it. Amen. He is good for His Word. Yes. When we begin to operate in that type of relationship with the Lord, worry has no place. Amen. It just don't have any room. It cannot operate. Worry has to go. But if you want to have victory, you're going to have to overcome worry. It's not just going to go away, church. Right. If you're battling with worry, it's not just going to go away. You're going to have to take authority over it and begin to walk in the truth of God's Word. Otherwise, it'll always be there. And it will hinder you. It'll be a weight your whole life. Every time you get close to what God has for you, there's worry tugging you, pulling you back. Every time God speaks a word to you, said, and the Spirit begins to prompt you to do something, there's worry. What will people think? Oh no, can't do that. Every time God speaks to you and says, I want you to get your stuff together, I want you to go do this, what How am I going to do that? Worry. Pulling you back. It will hinder your walk with the Lord. And there's a lot of people today in the church that are bound by worry. And they're unable to do what God has called them to do. They're unable to experience the word of the powerful move of God in their life, and the word is being choked out of their life because of worry and the cares of this world. And God wants to do more for us this morning. He wants you to let it go. Stand with me. God wants to make an exchange with some of us this morning. He wants to make an exchange with you. He wants to take your worry and He wants to give you joy and peace. He wants to give you a life of victory where the enemy has weighed you down with worry and defeat. But you've got to be willing to move forward in faith and believe His word and hand Him the steering wheel to your life. If you're here today and you're going through a situation and you don't know what to do, or maybe you're in a situation where you're worried, I know God laid it on my heart. So I believe without a shadow of a doubt that there's some people in here that are battling with worry. And I want to tell you this morning, if that's you, that God wants to minister to you. He wants to give you complete victory and joy in your life. You don't have to live in worry. You don't have to be hindered in your relationship. You can run the race without all that weight. Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me. Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I want to take all those burdens, all those weights, all those things that are weighing you down and hindering you, I want to take them from you, and I want to give you in exchange. I want to give you power. I want to give you joy. I want to give you peace. I want to give you victory. But you've got to make the exchange. It's your choice. That's why it says here you've got to lay them down. God will not pry it from your hands. You've got to lay it down. You've got to lay it down. If the Lord's ministered to you this morning, you say, I need a touch. I don't want to have any worry. I don't want to have anything hindering what God is wanting to do in my life today. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come as they play. Would you come?